1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the program. Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, will be my guest. We'll have Ed on in just a few minutes. We'll talk a bit about Racer football. We'll talk a bit about high school football, but also the First Region Girls Golf Tournament that wrapped up yesterday, played right here in Murray at Oaks Country Club. Marshall County goes to a 336, and they win the championship. I believe I was watching Jeff Bidwell either last night or this morning, don't remember when, and he said they'd finished runner-up like four straight years. So this time they finally get the big trophy. Congratulations to Marshall County on the 336, and it really wasn't close. McCracken County second at 349, Murray High third at 361, Graves fourth at 399. Marshall County's Bailey Tyree, the medalist, she is the individual Region 1 champion. She was the only player under par, 270, five shots clear of Terry Doss of Tillman. Both qualify for the state tournament. Of course, with Marshall County winning, they go automatically, so Tyree is in good shape there. But others whose teams didn't win first or second, they get to go too. And that is Murray High Sarah McDowell. She had a 77. Callaway County's Erlina Sheets, a 78. And Graves County's Nicole Taylor had an 80. They all qualify as individuals, so they will be in Bowling Green next week at the Girls State Golf Tournament. Our congratulations. In a bit, we'll talk with Ed a little bit more about that. Let's check some high school soccer results from last night. Christian Adams, four goals. Brian Wilhelm, another hat trick. And Ty Stom, two goals and three assists. Callaway County rolls to a 10-0 win over University Heights Academy. The Lakers are red hot. They're 13-3. They will host Marshall County tomorrow. Graves County rolled over Murray High 11-1. Cole Riley had the only goal for the Tigers. Murray now 6-11. The Eagles, though, they're really good. No surprise that they won that. 11-3-2 on the year. Other boys' games saw Marshall beat Mayfield 4-1. St. Mary over Webster 5-2. Lyon defeated Ballard Memorial 10-2. Lydia Grogan scored two goals, and Kennedy Jones added a goal and a pair of assists as Murray High avenged their only loss to a Region 1 team with a 4-1 win over Graves County. With the win, the Lady Tigers keep this fantastic season going. They are 15-3 on the year. Other girls' matches saw Marshall beat Mayfield 11-0. The same area, 9-1 winner over Webster County. McCracken County blank Tillman 2-0. Lyon over Ballard Memorial 3-2, and Todd beat Trigg 3-2. High school volleyball, Callaway County gets a nice 3-1 win over Graves County. They lost the first game 24-26, then won 25-19, 25-23, 25-20. Marshall County swept three from Murray, 25-17, 25-17, and 25-18. Community Christian Academy swept McCracken. Livingston swept Crittenden. Fulton City swept St. Mary. On to college golf, Murray State women's golf team finished fourth, and Moa Folk took second place at the Chris Bannister Golf Classic in Glencoe, Alabama. Troy won the event with a three-day total 921. The Razors finished at 927. Folk's final round 73 left her one shot behind medalist Fatima Cano of Troy. Other MSU scores included Sophie Hillier and Sydney Trimble, who shared first place at 238. Murray State men's golf team finished in 11th place at the SIUE Invitational at Gateway National Golf Club in Madison, Illinois. SIU the winner at 844. The Racers came in at 873. Jared Gosser leading Murray. He had a spot in 14th place at 214. Teammate Gabe Wheeler finished 35th at 220. Preston French 221. Brock Simmons 222. Matthew Zakutny 223. OVC volleyball results yesterday. Martin swept SEMO. Tennessee State beat Belmont 3-2. And Jacksonville State over Tennessee Tech by a 3-1 score. Murray State women's basketball released its schedule actually Monday. It features 13 home dates for the Racers at the CFSB Center. The Racers open the campaign at home against Oakland City November 13th. Murray State has road matches at Alabama A&M, Illinois State, Central Arkansas, Lipscomb, Evansville, Jacksonville, and Florida State. The home schedule includes dates with SIU, Central Arkansas, and Blue Mountain. The Racers open their OVC schedule by hosting Morehead State January 2nd. Once again this season, most of the games will air on WNBS. A select few will move to Froggy due to high school basketball scheduling conflicts. Kentucky running back Boom Williams didn't practice yesterday. Head coach Mark Stoops met with the media. He said Williams is going through some personal things. He didn't elaborate. Did say that that'll remain between him and Williams. It's uncertain whether Williams will play against Eastern Kentucky Saturday. Stoops said Williams' absence hasn't been a distraction as the Wildcats prepare for the Colonels. And Stoops also reported that left tackle Jordan Swindle is questionable for Saturday with a groin strain. Cardinals Pirates rained out last night in Pittsburgh. The teams will make that up today, part of a day-night doubleheader, 12:35 and 6:05 the times that the first pitch will be thrown. Air times 11:40 and 5:10 on 1340 WNBS. Adam Wainwright on the verge of returning to active duty for the Cardinals after rupturing his Achilles tendon in April. The 34-year-old is expected to work out of the bullpen this week, possibly as soon as sometime today. Wainwright went through drills in a simulated game on Monday. After a solid win over UT Martin to open the season Sunday, the Murray State Rifle team is fifth in the latest Collegiate Rifle Association Top 20 rankings. The organization announced Monday Murray State's win good enough to push them past Nebraska and into fifth. The rest of the top five unchanged. West Virginia number one, followed by Alaska, TCU, and Kentucky. Murray State plays in Oxford, Mississippi at the Ole Miss Invitational this weekend. And the boards are up at University of Kentucky's Rupp Arena. I guess it's Rupp Arena where Kentucky plays, as the new ribbon advertising boards have now been installed. Upgrades will be a new level of fan experience. If you've been to any of the modern arenas, you see them at almost all of them. Now Rupp Arena has those as well. That will allow more advertising to be sold, and of course that will increase revenue. All right, take a break. When I come back, it'll be Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun. He'll join me right after this.
Kevin Kugler from Westwood One here with a preview of Thursday night football. Tony Vaselli and I will bring you AFC North action from Pittsburgh, with the Steelers playing host to Joe Flacco and the winless Ravens. Michael Vick will replace injured quarterback Ben Roethlisberger as the Steelers hope to win their third straight. Join us for Thursday night football and hear the NFL all season long from Westwood One.
Hear the game Thursday night at 7 on WNBS. Hi again, everyone, and as promised, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, joins me. Of course, we'll talk Racer football and some high school football, but this week, on Monday, there was the boys' first region championship, and then yesterday, right here in Murray, it was the girls' first region golf championship. Marshall County, runner-up, finally they get the win. Probably a very emotional day. You were there kind of shooting as part of coverage for the Paducah Sun. Talk about that day for Marshall County and some other things about that tournament.
Well, I think the biggest thing about it was Bailey Tyree finally coming away with a regional championship individual title. She had been in the playoff last year that I was covering for the Ledger when Anna Hack and she and Terry Doss of Paducah Tillman had all gone into that dramatic playoff at Silos. And so she was definitely very excited yesterday about her individual title finish. Terry Doss of Tillman giving her a hug and then talking after the match was, kind of a touching moment. But it's one of those things where, Marshall had been knocking on the door for quite some time. They had a young freshman, Hallie Riley, really surprised everybody and was leading at the turn at 1-under, and she still finished with a 77, had a good day. And those two gals, plus, their 3, 4, and 5, really put together a really strong tournament. The weather held off. I think that was the biggest factor. Everybody was really, really kind of skittish. And there was already a lot of water damage out at Oaks anyways, just from the previous morning's downpour and some of the late night rain. But other than that, it was a very good tournament, great weather. And Marshall County really, really came through and played well. Plus, a couple other local golfers who qualified for state. Callaway County's Irelina Sheet and Murray's Sarah McDowell also qualified. So just a good day all around for the 4th District.
And it's fun always. You go to the states, and that's a memorable time. They'll never forget that. It's an experience. I don't care in what sport. it's pretty awesome to say, I played in a state tournament. Win it or not, doesn't really matter at that point. You've accomplished something just by getting there, haven't you, Ed?
It's true, and you get to play on that Friday. It's always really special. I think, I'm not sure when the actual state, I know it's next week, but I know last year it was a Friday-Saturday affair, and day one for girls, you know, being on Friday, you hope to push into the weekend. You go to Bowling Green, you enjoy yourself some being in Hilltopper land, I guess, and then you hope to make it to Saturday morning, and that's just the ultimate goal, because from there, it's anybody's game. You know, last year, you know, obviously Anna Hack was in the lead, had a day one tremendous lead, and then had a tough second day to finish seventh and was in the top 10. But you just never know what can happen in Bowling Green. But just getting there, you're right, Neil, is certainly a special part to anybody's career. And I believe this is the sixth consecutive time that Bailey Tyree has been to state in some form or fashion.
Gosh.
And it's also the sixth consecutive time that Terry Doss has been. And, of course, both of them committed to big programs. Doss committed to Mississippi State. Bailey Tyree is, of course, committed to Western. So she's kind of, in a strange way, going home, even though she's not quite at Western yet. So just a neat experience for all the girls all around.
Let's talk some Murray State football. The Racers with certainly their opportunities to win the game Saturday night when they took on Tennessee Tech, but undone by the four fumbles that turned into turnovers. They were undone by the roughing the punter, a blocked field goal attempt, had a blocked extra point, and yet still had an opportunity to win that game. So I don't know if that's a glass half full or half empty kind of thing, but it certainly puts them a little bit behind the eight ball heading into this week against Southeast Missouri.
It does. It does, Neil. And honestly, I think they're looking at it a glass half full approach because they don't want the psyche to kind of come back and bite them later. I think that's probably a good way to look at it, just because, you know, they were right there with 90 seconds left. They had a great chance. And you saw Tech take their shot.
You know,
on third and long, they had a shot. They had a guy open. Davis just kind of overthrew him a little bit. But it's just one of those things where, you know, the Racers, there are a lot of positives to take from this game. Tennessee Tech was 1 of 13 from third down conversions. They limited the Golden Eagles to under 400 yards of offense. You know, the Racers themselves generated 551, and that's after abandoning the run to kind of get behind, you know, to kind of get back into the game. I think once they took that 2-touchdown deficit there late in the third quarter, that's when things really kind of started to get, you know, writing. I don't want to say the writing was on the wall, but I think the Racers knew they had to get up and go.
Right.
If they were going to get back into the game. And Katie Humphrey certainly put the offense there on his back. I think if they get a faster start in that game, I think if Pokey Harris catches that long touchdown to give them the lead and things like that, that actually might just change the game a little bit. But, yeah, they left so many points on the board. Just the missed two-point conversion on the double reverse. You got to credit Tre'Darius Goff on that stop on the play there to force him out at the one. Just a lot of points left on the field. And I think they know that, and they'll go back to the drawing board. And I hope, hopefully they don't take, SEMO for granted. It's one of those situations where SEMO might have been our only Division I win last season, but SEMO knows that.
Yeah.
And they know that this season. They played against SIU well. They played against Mizzou well. You know, they had a tough loss last week to a decent Division II program with a rookie quarterback. So, Saturday's a big day, whether Racer fans and people know that. But it's a big day for both teams.
Hey, what I'm encouraged about was the play of Elijah Daniel, who at times dominated, setting a Murray State record with 6 tackles for loss. If he can continue playing like that, he'll either continue to do well or he'll free it up for someone else because he'll have to be double-teamed. That's something the Racers haven't had for a few years, is that one guy on defense, maybe since Austin Lane, that the other team has to make a game plan for.
You're right, Neil, and it is kind of crazy to see his stat line. You know, he was making plays for other guys. John Samuels Connell was able to come away with the Racers' first interception largely because of that pass rush. You know, Davis was, you know, was rushed early, and that actually, I think that happened, that was the first turnover. And I remember thinking then if the Racers were going to answer turnovers by forcing their own turnovers, that this was going to be a, you know, a ball game. And like I said, a two-point loss is still a ball game, but at that juncture in the game, you know, that's all Tech momentum. And then all of a sudden there's some pass rush. Davis, you know, has the ball headed towards center field that he underthrows a little bit. And Sean Samuels was, you know, was able to pick that off cleanly for the Racers' first interception of the season to kind of keep that game close. And so you feel like with that type of a pass rush, there's one of two things that will happen. One, the defensive line is going to come up with more sacks. Or two, the secondary is going to come up with more interceptions because the quarterbacks aren't going to have time to make a play. They're going to chuck the ball, hope for the best, and, you know, possibly come up with the worst. You know, and that being said, you know, I mean, you're right. Elijah Daniels certainly opened a lot of eyes. And you have to think, even against FBS talent and against Kentucky Wesleyan, you know, he was getting double and triple teams.
Yes.
Against Wesleyan, it was Zach Dean that was free for one-on-one action. Against, you know, Michigan, you know, against Western Michigan and NIU, it was some of those linebackers that were able to, you know, close up on some of those gaps and get free. You know, Toby Omley with 15 tackles out of his position. And then against NIU, I believe it was DeQuentin Spraggins and Jonathan Jackson and Joey Chicoria that were able to kind of close up those gaps and finish with those tackles. So, you know, obviously – the defensive line is where it all starts, and if Daniel can continue to have even a fraction of what he had against Tennessee Tech, I would continue to expect good things out of the Racer defense.
Let's talk a bit about the high school football from last weekend. I was expecting a pretty close game between Caldwell and Tillman. Caldwell ended up pulling away. I know from what I read in you guys' account and hearing the game a little bit, it looked as if Tillman kind of shot themselves in the foot at times with a couple of key penalties.
That's true, and I think also one of the bigger losses is the loss of Jesse Dunnigan. Dunnigan actually went to Twitter and talked to Mike Stenson about how he separated his shoulder and he'll be out 2 to 3 weeks. And I think that was a big change in momentum for both teams. Caldwell knew they were kind of cracking Tillman a little bit, and Tillman knew that they were having to rely on a younger quarterback, a rookie, a freshman, you know, with Dunnigan on the sideline. You know, that being said, I still think Tillman is an overwhelming favorite this Friday going against Trigg County. Caldwell County has just proven time and again, though, this year that they are a very, very good football team, even without Elijah Sindelar. And I think that was a big question going into this season, for sure. I mean, if any casual fan would look at Caldwell's program and say, well, how do you replace? Well, it even so much isn't about replacing. It's just, you know, what do you do about the production? And Shane Burns, a young sophomore, has done wonders over there. And they've done a really good job tailoring that offense to a sophomore quarterback, and the weapons are there. So, but both teams played a heck of a game, a whale of a game, I guess you could say. Tillman is going to continue to be a fantastic football program this season. Coach David Barnes in Caldwell County, they'll continue to be a fantastic football program this season, and I expect both of them to have critical success in the playoffs. Tillman will be a very tough 3A football team, and as will Caldwell County. So, but yeah, definitely a great game there from both sides of the field.
Also last week, Mayfield goes and defeats Corbin on a neutral field, and Murray High, probably a win they desperately needed. They go to 5-0. Russellville come away with a very convincing victory. If that Murray High team shows up, this could be a fun week for the Murray-Mayfield game, but if the one that shows up a couple of weeks ago shows up, it might not be a lot of fun. What's your take on it?
That's a very good point, Neil. One thing that Murray has really had to focus on this season is the way they move the ball. You know, they use that triple option, and while it's created a lot of explosive plays, it's also created a lot of fumbles, a lot of mismanagement in the backfield in some respects. That being said, the kids have started to, you can tell, the kids have really started to understand the rhythm, the tempo, where guys are going to be on their pitches and things like that. And it's all about a metronome. You know, where is your guy going to be when he comes off of his reverse? Where is your guy going to be if he's to your left and out 5 yards, or to your right and out 10 yards? You know, and it's all about where you can pitch when, and making sure you avoid your defenders, crack your blocks, and take off for daylight. And so, you know, lately, the last 2 or 3 weeks, Murray has been able to limit fumbles. I know as of going into the Marshall County game, they fumbled the ball 16 times and lost 8 or 9 of them. You know, and that's tough, you know, considering, you know, that's shooting yourself in the foot quite a bit. That being said, they're starting to get healthy again. I have been told by a couple sources that Peyton Glenn will play this Friday. That's one of their top corners back. Of course, Malik Britt's been back for a little while. So now their running back depth, their wide receiver depth, and their cornerback depth is all big going into this Friday. I do know that Mayfield is going to be without their top running back, Trajan Bright, with a dislocated elbow, and you know, wish him a speedy recovery. They will go with a very, you know, highly touted, I believe he's a sophomore, running back behind Trajan Bright that's been doing very well the last 2 or 3 weeks. And it's just one of those things where, you know, Murray can't take that for granted. You know, Mayfield does not lose very often at War Memorial. Matter of fact, just recently had their streak ended of 49 games by McCracken County. So, in a very close game there. So, you know, it's going to be a great game. You know they've got to play twice regardless of what happens. It's very likely that they're going to play 2 times.
Sure.
And you just hope to win the first one to get home field advantage.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're playing for, I would assume. And one other, I didn't think I'd be talking about this, but Callaway County, they bring in Hopkins Central. They could have a 3-game winning streak. That's something the Lakers haven't known much about since Casey Brockman left. Suddenly they have things going their way.
They do. Neil, I think a lot of people, they gained a lot of confidence when they got the overtime win against Trigg County. You knew that, you know, with that game, they were down, then they were briefly up, then they were down there, and they just came back, you know, and finished off Trigg County in pretty dramatic fashion. And I think that win really showed them that, hey, listen, we can, you know, if you really think about it, the Lakers are close to 2-0 their wins. You know, they lose, you know, in tough fashion to Marshall County. You know, Marshall County, of course, with that tough running game that they have with Dalton Nelson. But then they also had a tough loss to open the season at Ohio County. And so that's 2 games that they thought maybe they should win. So now they've gone out and picked up 2 wins that people think they shouldn't have.
Right.
To balance that out. And that being said, a superb second half against Madisonville North Hopkins to beat them 20-12, a smothering defense. And a strong offensive attack there late, a late surge. And yes, Neil, you're right. You're looking at a team that could very well be on a 3-game winning streak after this Friday. Obviously, you gotta count your horses and make sure you account for everybody. And Hopkins County Central actually this season has 2 wins, whereas over the last 4 years they had 0. So you know they're obviously an improving program, and we'll look to continue their success this season. But that being said, you know, Callaway probably is a favorite going into Friday on home turf against district opponent Hopkins County Central. And if they can take care of business, I mean, it'll be crazy to think this is the first time they've had a 3-game winning streak since Brockman.
Wow.
You know, maybe Josh McKeel is the quarterback's coach on the sideline. Maybe that has a little bit to do with it. And he was Brockman's coach. You know, but Mickey Garrison and those guys are playing really hard, and you have to admire that.
They are. So we'll see how that turns out. You a fantasy football player? You do fantasy football?
Mildly.
Mildly.
I have 8 fantasy football teams.
You have 8 teams? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Yeah. I've never heard of so many.
I say mildly because last year I had 10.
You're getting married. You got to back that off. I mean, 8.
I took a slight step back, but yes, I have 8 fantasy football teams for sure.
Oh, and your wife to be knows this, right? And still is going to marry
does.
You? Oh
she
my
does,
gosh!
Yeah.
She's
well,
a keeper, then you know, no doubt.
She's with it. She knows that I'm a football fanatic. This is probably my favorite time of year,
right?
Just because Fridays I'm watching high school football, Saturdays I'm watching college football, and Sundays I'm watching NFL. So she's quite sick of it already, and we're in week three right. of the NFL. She just doesn't understand. We've got 14 more weeks to go, plus the playoffs, plus the Super Bowl. She's preparing for a Super Bowl party. She's that kind of person.
Well, that's good.
We'll cook. We'll probably have a small little get together. But leading up to that, I think abhor is the right word. She abhors football because, especially with the NFL, I lose my mind. Like when I'm watching the game last week when the Titans had that ebb and flow against the Colts.
Yeah.
Luckily, she wasn't here because I was throwing things. I was up cheering, yelling, screaming, punching the TV. It was just mad dashes of completely furious and completely excited at Titans football, which I wouldn't expect any less over the last few years.
Goodness. So. Well, I had I lost to Ricky Martin this past week, but one of the most embarrassing times I've ever had.
Let me ask you, in that league, did he have all of the big hitters? Did he have Jeremy Maclin, Steve Smith?
No, that's what's bad. He doesn't have any of them. He has just a stink team, and I lost. I had three guys put up zeros. Yeah, it is. So he has a bad team.
Who put up zeros for you?
Well, I think I just cut all of them, but Ivory with the Jets.
Yeah.
Williams, I guess, with the Cowboys. He didn't have anything. I believe that's who it was. And
you can blame Brandon Whedon for that because he can't pass anywhere past 10 yards.
So I don't remember the other one, but wholesale house cleaning. Anyway, I appreciate it. I know you obviously have to get back to getting your teams ready for tomorrow night, so I'll let you go, all right?
Oh, indeed. I've been searching the waiver wire the last 2 weeks. So.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ed. We'll chat with you next week.
Thanks, Neil.
That is Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun.